Welcome to the audio library of Dominion Church, located at 401 Landing Boulevard, League City, Texas. Our senior pastors are Greg and Dina Thurstenson with a mission to reach people and make disciples. We hope you join us soon in service where you experience dynamic worship and find a place of faith, hope, and healing. Now for today's message from the House of Dominion.
Tonight I'd like to ask you to turn with me for a brief 65-minute sermon on how one word, one phrase, and one reminder from God can and will change everything. One word, one phrase, one reminder from God can and will change everything. Even now, God is speaking. And even as He speaks, there are many that are sitting here tonight that are listening. The Bible says, you shall hear, you shall know the truth, and that heard truth, that one phrase, that one word, that one reminder shall make you free, shall change everything. And as we turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, in just a moment, we're going to begin with verse 28. And before I read from Romans, I want to ask each of you to consider this question. The question is simply, how do you see yourself? As you sit here tonight, do you see yourself as an overcomer? Do you see yourself as a conqueror? Or in your daily life, do you dwell upon thoughts and feelings that continue to cause you to be shaped in such a way that you see yourself as a loner, the overcome, the conquered, the failure? Do you see yourself as someone small, someone who is forever doomed to living life, and living life in such a way that your life is very predictable? That you'll continue to think and feel the same way, and therefore you'll continue to repeat the past failures, the past fears, and the past defeats in your life. I believe that God is speaking to each of us. I believe that this is a season of dominion. I believe this is a season of taking authority. I believe this is a season of drawing the line in the sand and saying to the enemy, I will not be overcome anymore. God has given to me His strength. God has given to me His capacity. God has released in me His ability. And this is the season that I stand up to you and I say, stop it. That's enough. This is the season that God is speaking to the secret things in our life and the secret things in our heart, and He is beginning to ignite and awaken the dreams He has placed in our hearts long ago, and He is saying to each of us in His own way, I am not finished with you yet. I have one word, I have one phrase, I have one reminder, and that which I began in you, I will finish. And these are the days of Elijah, and these are the days of revival, and I'm going to start in you. I am going to start in here, and before long, you better leave for church real easy, because you're not going to be able to get in here anymore, because what I have in you is about to be pressed down, shaken together, until it runs over into the streets of this city, because I haven't come just to save a few. I've come to save a city. And if a church will be faithful with a few, He'll give them the city. And when a church learns to love their city in the way God has compassion for them, God will give them a region. And then after they've taken dominion and authority over a region, God will go statewide until it begins to be nationwide, until a church suddenly takes its place before a holy God and God begins to rewrite history all around the world. Can I have an amen? All you need and all you're waiting on is one word, one phrase, and one reminder from God, and it'll change everything. But it won't change anything until it changes your thing. You're going to find, even as you're being prayed for in the church, that God's going to talk to you about your thing. We all have a thing hanging around in our life that's keeping us defeated, causing us to be dysfunctional. That's the most used word in the dictionary next to defeat. But oh, I don't know about you, as for me and my house, The cycles of dysfunction stop now. Just because I was adopted out of dysfunction by a family into dysfunction doesn't mean that I am doomed to grow up, marry a woman, and have two children and keep the cycle going. As for me and my house, we have said with our generation and with our marriage and with the Word of God, we shall break those cycles of dysfunction and we will be a Spirit-filled, functional life family marriage based on the Word of God. You see, the simple fact is this. You and I will inevitably project what we feel about ourselves to others. And not just to others, but to the enemy. You see, we teach others what to think about us, what to feel about us. We train them how to treat us. And not only do we do that with each other, but we do that with the enemy. We are telling on ourselves many times, and as we tell on ourselves, it sounds something like, I'm insecure, I'm timid, I'm fearful, I'm overcome, I'm worried, I'm anxious. You probably have a good idea of what it sounds like when it comes out of your mouth. See, words are powerful because they shape the world around us as we see it within us. Are you breathing? And so inevitably we tell on ourselves, and either we tell on ourselves or we tell on the authority and the dominion of something within us called Jesus Christ that is greater than anything in this world. It's not enough to be able to recite Scripture and memorize Scripture and read Scripture. Somewhere that Scripture has to start shaping your words and shaping your thoughts and shaping your standards and shaping your values. And I believe he has come intentionally to reshape some of us and to get some of us that have been out of shape back in. Are you still breathing? Now, can I tell you, this is going to make you very And God is going to ask of you things that are outside your comfort zone. You will see yourself doing this. And the Lord will speak to you and say, it's not by your might, but it's by my power and it's by my Spirit. So you see yourself doing this, but I see you doing this. Do you realize when you do this, it is going to be contrary to what makes you comfortable and what is easy for you, and it may cause you to rearrange your life in such a way it can be blessed by God. Now, can you live without your blessing? Can you live without His refuge? Can you live without His presence? Oh, I think He wants to be the most hungered for thing in your life. I think He wants to just fill you to overflowing. I think He wants the body of Christ to thirst for Him as they've never thirsted before. I think He wants to interrupt church as usual with holy power and holy conviction, to where people don't even wait till the sermon is finished, until the altar call is given, as the man did Sunday morning, who leaped from the back, ran to the front into my arms, and then later, one of our ministers led him in the prayer of salvation. What are we waiting on? I believe the wait is over. And I believe He has a word for us in season, a phrase, a reminder that will change everything. Just because you've always been overcome doesn't mean you're not ever going to be an overcomer. I think sometimes you and I talk to our children, and we should probably be talking to ourselves this way. Have you ever just gotten so exasperated by your children where you said, okay, no more. Stop it. That's enough. Quit acting that way. Don't go ask Mom. There's no second opinion here. This is how it's going to be. I think the Holy Spirit is saying to the local church and the church around the world, stop having this love affair and this adulterous relationship with the world. Stop it. That's enough. I am your first love. You come back to me. And when you come back to me, you're going to find you've been looking for love in all the wrong places. You've been looking for it in yourself. You've been looking for it in your comforts. You've been looking for it in the things that you use to entertain yourself. And I think a holy God is saying, I will not be mocked. I am coming back for a certain kind of church, and I don't see her yet on earth. 2,000 years ago, I sent my son. His name is Jesus Christ. And he hung on a cross for your sins so that your sins wouldn't hang you on your cross. And I didn't just leave my son on the cross. In his death, he lived. He died that you might live. Now live like it. Some of you are thinking we're back to Sunday again, and we may just visit there periodically. But what's wrong with the world is not impossible to fix. But you and I can't fix it, but Jesus can. I can think through my life time and time again how one word preached from God, one person who came to church prayed up and ready to give and not receive, how those individuals and that word was used to change everything in my life. Do you remember the time when you came to church and you were so impatient for the music to start? Amen. Thank you for the three nodded heads and the one, huh? Appreciate that. Now, it's important for you to understand that your words, your thoughts, and your feelings can be the very thing that you allow to shape your world in a way that God and His Word has not spoken for your life. And so God is trying to rearrange and reshape your world according to His Word. And one of the shaping scriptures I found to be helpful is Romans 8, beginning in verse 28. I'm reading from the King James Version, and verse 28 begins by saying, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." Now, before we move to verse 31, notice here, he says, "We know." This is Paul writing. He's saying, "We know. We know that all things work together for good." But how many of you have been through a few things and you're still kind of trying to figure out the no on it? You're not in on the no. You did not get the memo. It seems that someone else knows, but you don't know. The doctor doesn't even know. But I'm telling you, God wants to be the no in your life. God wants to see you push through the excuses, push through the crowd, and get to Him and get in on what only God knows. See, sometimes we all want the blessings, but we don't want the sacrifice. So it takes a little while sometimes to be in on the no. Now, verse 31, Paul begins to ask some questions of the Word. He says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge?" Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who even now is at the right hand of God, who also prays and makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall it be tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." Yet in all these things, now think about this, what things? Scripture tells us, when we're condemned, when we're delivered over to the enemy, when we feel separated from the love of Christ by tribulation, by distress, by persecution, when famine, when nakedness or loss or peril or sword comes against us for the purpose of destroying and killing us, and even when we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Paul had some things. Paul wasn't writing from someone else's point of reference, not their context, not their life. He was writing from his own. I'm sure as he wrote this, he thought about the number of different times he was shipwrecked. I'm sure he thought about the times that he sat on the shore and was bitten by a snake while trying to just do God's will. I'm sure he remembers being persecuted. I'm sure he remembers being beaten and whipped. I'm sure he remembers being imprisoned. And yet he says, these are the kind of things that seek to separate you from God. And yet, in view of all those things, though these things have sought to kill me, though I am as a sheep being led towards the slaughter, I am still yet all of this. In the middle of all these things, I am still all of this. And what does Scripture teach us all of this is? Well, it's something familiar to you in the English language. We are more than conquerors. That phrase, more than conquerors, those three words could be your phrase, could be your words, could be your reminder tonight that will change everything. You see, those three words, it took three English words to capture the original Greek words. In the Greek language, it only took two words to describe more than a conqueror. Let's look at the first word. It took one Greek word where it took two English words. The two English words are more than. When you go back to the Greek, those two words in English, more than, come from the Greek word hooper, which literally means above and beyond. It depicts something that is way beyond measure. It carries the idea of superiority. It describes something that is utmost, paramount, foremost, first rate, first class, and top notch. It describes something that's greater, higher, and better than. It's something superior to, preeminent, dominant, and incomparable. This is one Greek word. It's describing someone who is more than a match for. They're unsurpassed, unequaled, and unrivaled by a person or a thing. Now, Paul uses this word to describe what kind of person and what kind of conqueror we are in Christ Jesus. He says we are hooper conquerors. We are greater. We are superior. We are higher. We are better than any of the things in life that seek to conquer, seek to kill, and seek to lead us as sheep for the slaughter. In the middle of all these things, we are more than a match for anything and for any foe. We are the utmost. We are top notch. We are unsurpassed. We are unequaled, and we are unrivaled as conquerors. Those are the words more than. The second Greek word describes this word you know as conquerors. And it describes an overcomer, a conqueror, a champion, a victor, a master. It's a picture of an overwhelming prevailing force. You see, the word that Paul was looking for by itself wasn't strong enough. That word conqueror wasn't strong enough, so he joined the Greek word hooper with the Greek word for conqueror. And so this new Greek word that it forms tells you and I who is in us. It means that you and I in Christ Jesus are overwhelming conquerors. We are paramount victors. We are enormous overcomers. We are phenomenal, walloping, conquering forces. That's your job description. That's who he is in you. That's who you are in him. And I believe the word for this evening is for many of us to stop looking at ourselves as not enough. That we look at ourselves small. We see all of the obstacles, all of these things, all of these challenges in life that come against us through eyes that see ourselves as we see them, that have been shaped by our failures and our fears and our defeats. That's the filter that we put on life. That's what we see, and we can tell that's what we see by what we say. Now, my mom, when I was young growing up, she was a guardian to my lips and my mouth. And when something came out that she felt was not appropriate, she promptly marched me to the bathroom, took out that bar of lava soap, and began to wash. I think when God moves into a building and into a life and into a heart and into a family, it's not all mystical, people. It's not all God just waving a wand and you and I are clean and free. I think he wants to reshape, rearrange, and remind us of, first of all, who he is. And any moving of God's Spirit is always going to point to Him, corporately and individually. And any moving of God is always going to point at you and begin to line your life up with the Word of God. And to the degree that you begin to line your life up with His will, with His work, and with His Word, to that same degree will you have dominion and authority. And I believe tonight He is walking the room and He is taking out some Holy Ghost lava and He is trying to wash out much of what you and I say about ourselves and to ourselves and to others on a daily basis. I think that for some of us, the enemy has not had to work too hard to defeat us. Because all the enemy has to do is just wait. I feel that he is dealing in many hearts with a critical spirit. What's amazing to me is how many times in the local church, those who don't sit back and criticize those who do. Many times in the local church, what's amazing to me is those who don't sit back and criticize those who do. Don't make me rewind a third time, one for the Father, one for the Son, and now let me speak for the Holy Ghost. We walk around clueless and wondering, how is it that the enemy has such access into my life? Well, let me answer that for you, sunshine. Sometimes he's just been listening to you. And as you have begun to judge others, according to Matthew 7, he says, judge not lest ye be judged. For in the same measure that you mete out judgment, in that same measure it will come back to you. I am finding in this season of my life, I better watch out exactly what I say and who I say it to, and how I'm saying it, because I feel like God is requiring more. And I'm seeing that by our mouths are open, and the enemy is allowed entrance in. And so I believe that's the word of the Lord. I believe that some of you are shaping the enemy's weapon against you by your words. Sometimes you're using that weapon against yourself. And I found when you don't feel good about yourself, you don't usually speak well of others. That most people have a tendency when they don't feel good about themselves and they can't bring themselves up to others, they still speak ill will of others and bring them down to them. I hear people all the time tell me how insecure they are, how inadequate they are, how timid they are, how overcome they are, how no good they are. And I watch them condition themselves to walk small. You see, you're allowing that weapon to defeat you. You're dwelling on a thought that begins to shape words that, when spoken, become death to you. The longer you stay in the Word, the more that Word gets in you, and it begins to shape you in such a manner that now the thoughts you think on are not what you're not, but on who He is. And you begin to think on thoughts that remind you, oh, wait a minute, I am more than a conqueror. Two Greek words that summarize who God is, and not just up there, but who God is in here. I've got to remind myself that He is above and beyond. He is way beyond measure. He is first rate. He is first class. He is top notch. He is unsurpassed, unequaled, and unrivaled. And He lives in me. And greater is He in me than he that comes against me or anything in this world. You need to start taking out the trash mentally and let God save your mind. Some of you gave Him your soul, but you kept your mind, and that's why you are out of your mind. You have talked yourself into defeat, into discouragement, and into dysfunction. I've watched people go through trials, come through and see God do the miraculous, and come out on the other side and criticize people, criticize everyone. The more I fall in love with the Lord, the more I realize there was a whole lot of unloved, unlovable stuff in my life. And I think, wow, if God could love me like that, certainly I could be patient with you and you and you like that. You know, I personally believe that God has to do a work here so that when the lost and dying and the broken and dysfunctional from the world come, they're not disillusioned. See, because here's people from the world. Wow. Hey, I drank outside church. These people drink inside church. Why do I need church? I smoked before I got here like a train. They smoke like a train when I got here. Why would I need to come to church? They act holy on Sunday and ungodly on Monday. That's no different than the world I live in. Why come? This is a waste of time. I'm depressed out there. They're more depressed in here. See, if we don't love each other, then how are we going to love them that are coming? Man, I'll tell you, I'm going to get personal up in here right now. Do you know what? I believe many times the greatest enemy in the local church is not the enemy. We've been blaming things on the devil for a long time that our mouths created. There's an appetite of gossip and criticism in all of our lives. It comes from our fallen nature. We've all fallen. But thank God 2,000 years ago on a cross, he made sure we got up. Would you feel better about this message if you knew I was almost done? Well, I'm not, so whatever you feel, just keep feeling. But we read Psalms 133 that speaks of unity and that God in that place commands his blessing, and yet we don't work like that. We don't live like that. We don't attend church like that. And in every church I've ever been in, there's always someone that kind of feels like they're large and in charge, so to speak. They can always point out and see in everybody else's life where they're falling short, but don't really ever see themselves and how they fall short. They're kind of like the doctor of revival. And yet, they're the first to miss, last to come, and the first to leave. If I'm talking to somebody you know, say amen. Some of you are looking at me like, I wouldn't say a word no matter what you said. Man, I've known in previous churches just where to go to find the gossip, just who to call. And can I tell you that if you're guilty of that in this church, and you've decided you're going to start drawing lines, it's going to get really uncomfortable. It's amazing to me how each of us face such struggles in life, and yet how we'll just pick each other apart and say, well, I don't like the way she parents her kids, and her kids are the spawn from hell. Well, have you seen yours lately? You know, how many of you found it's not easy to raise children? Amen. How many of you found that, like Greg and Dina, we used to go out, man, did we have an attitude when we'd go out to eat. We'd be looking at them families like, what is wrong with you? Get a hold of that kid. When we have kids, they ain't not going to do that. And you know what? They didn't. Our kids were three times worse than any kid we ever judged. Do you know when you see a brother or a sister who's fallen short of the glory, that's your ministry, is to help pick them up, not to push them down. Oh, you can do a lot better than that. Now, are you just clapping your hands because you feel bad? Shame on you if you're causing division in this church and speaking ill will. Shame on you if you're using Facebook. Let's just keep going. I won't even get on that. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to make church, but good Lord, we're on Facebook 24/7. We don't have time to pray and talk to God, but boy, we have time to pry and talk about each other. Now, I want you to hear me tonight. This is not in my notes. This is going to not cost you anything extra, though. It is free. But let me tell you, that's where revival really goes first. It goes into judgmental, critical, selfish lives that lack God's presence and glory. Because you know what God has said in this house? He has said it is time for dominion to take authority. That you are to live up to your name. That you're not supposed to just be any other church in the community, because every church has their own assignment. He's saying, I want you to focus on your assignment. And your assignment is to lay your lives down for me. That you are to come to this church and worship me in spirit and in truth. That you are to take your eyes off the clock and put your eyes on the Christ. You are to take your judgmental spirits and put them on the cross and let me crucify them, that I might live and give you life abundantly. I'm about to rock your world, and if you'll begin to take dominion over and authority over the things in your life, I want this church to be great. You stick around. God, if you'll hunger for Him, He will do something so big for this church financially, numerically, and ministerially. It'll be like when David stood before Goliath with just a little rag and a rock, but he was obedient. And when he did, the giant came down. Oh, you don't even understand how important that is to you, not just corporately, but personally. Even now, God is saying, put my rag in your hand. Put my rock in your hand. Get a hold of yourself. Put yourself on my altar until there's no more of yourself. And when you stand before the giant in your personal life, I'm going to bring down that addiction. I'm going to bring down that affection. I'm going to bring down that conqueror that's been conquering you long enough. And then I'm going to send you out, and you are going to be blessed coming, and you're going to be blessed going, and you're going to inherit houses you did not build, and you are going to own fields you have not worked, for I will not be mocked. Yes. I don't know about you, but my blessing lies in the balance of my next decision. See, this has not been a comfortable time for us financially. How many of you could say, well, it's not been for me either? But you know, it's then God really watches to see, will you keep tithing? Will you give offerings in addition to that? Boy, it's easy to give an offering when you got it. How about when you don't? Well, I'll get off of that and finish, because I need to finish, because there's something I want you to declare tonight. I want you to understand this is a very personal word. That when God begins to move in a local church, guess what? It isn't all just through our heart. And we all just have warm fuzzies, and we all have a bunch of tears, and we all get a good word, and we all leave here with just a feel. But how many of you know there's going to be a part of God that touches, changes, and empowers this heart? There's a second part that God's going to touch. It's going to be your head. And so there are going to be times I'm going to be like tonight, a brain surgeon. And I'm going to specifically come, and I am going to challenge you. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost convict you. But if you'll take that word, that phrase, that reminder, it'll change everything in your life. And He will begin then to get your mind in order, His order. And your mind will begin to function in a way that is above and beyond. Your mind will be a conqueror. Your heart will conquer unholy affections. Your mind will conquer unhealthy thoughts. Am I helping you? And what I want the Lord to say tonight to each of us is that we have been dwelling on unhealthy thoughts to such a degree we've empowered them, and they have now conquered us, and they now have control over us, and they are in charge of us, and we know it because of what comes out of our mouth. This last year, when my daughter started down a road that we're still waiting for God to complete the miracle, I found Him really putting a guard over our mouths. I found myself praying in a different way. I found what I said in a different manner. And I found that you can't just sit back and just kind of let God do it all. God is waiting for you to step forward obediently and let Him begin to reorder your lives. So God is going to put an order in our minds here in this church. Now, this might not be the night that everybody leaves here feeling the warm and the fuzzy. And tell me out loud, that's good. But tonight's about you going home and saying, you know what? I need to really do some thinking about what I've been thinking on. My thinking has set me up. My words have been death to me. I've gotten in some really bad habits when I'm around certain people. It's gotten to be really, really fun to talk about people and to talk about problems. I found that that will only take you so far. And that so far is not above and beyond your enemy. So I've got to think and live my life in such a way that I don't let the enemy have access into my life. Thank you. I'm hearing some of y'all warm up. It makes me want to get to the finish line. And if tonight hasn't rocked your thought life, then you haven't listened for the word that God is speaking to help set you free. See, because there's some enemies you don't ever want to see again. You just don't ever want to see them. But what if you keep setting yourself up to see them and keep setting yourself up to be overcome by them and to be conquered by them and to keep walking through the same fears and walking through the same battles and walking through the same trials? I've said no. I don't want to see this again, ever. Yeah. How about you? That'll make you dig in and say, you know what? I'm going to start thinking like God's Word and speaking like I know it. And you know, girlfriend, that I've been trying to fix over the gossip lines and over the nursery time when I'm with somebody that feels the same way I do? It's not fixing them, but it is destroying me. And I am now living without my blessing because I, through my lips, have let the enemy in. And I've been binding something that I've released in my own life. I'm so surprised. We have so many challenges in our life. I don't have time to work on your salvation. That's why Scripture says, work out your with fear and trembling. What's wrong with the church today is that we don't have any fear and we don't have any trembling. And I came up with a new phrase last year that if I'm working on your salvation harder than you are, if I'm working on your marriage harder than you are, then something's wrong. And it's not going to be wrong with me no more. My goodness, as a kid, I was in church 5 years before the pastor ever shook my hand and knew my name. He never took me to lunch. He never discipled me. He never came and saw one of my basketball, football, or golf tournaments. He never saw nothing. He barely knew me. Till I graduated, and he gave me a Bible and took us to Furr's cafeteria for lunch. But you know what? I made it. Nobody had to come to me and say, "Por Winocito, I see that the church has not thrown a big party for you. Oh, Winocito, I'm so sorry. We were not there for your every little fear and your little feeling." Now, we laugh because we know somebody else that thinks like that. We just don't realize that somebody else as many times. Oh, pastor, we want you to have time to pray and read the Word and have an anointing. But not on my need time. We had somebody call the church this week. I can't believe the audacity of them. They called and had need for prayer. And our administrative team, who is unbelievable. That's your daughter. Our administrative team, Pam and Casey, are incredible. Said, well, you know what? Pastor's out right now. But Pastor Paul's here. Pastor Clint's here. Could one of them pray with you? Oh, no. Oh, no. No, senor. No prayer. No prayer from JV. No junior varsity prayer. No, no. We want varsity. Yeah. Yes. No JV pray. No, no, no. Thank you. I laughed. But I was mad inside. I need you to recognize what God is saying because God wants you to see yourself the way He saw you at Calvary 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago to this day, He keeps every day waking you up and He's saying, absolutely nothing, nothing and no one shall separate me from your love and your love from my love. And I have gone to Calvary for you once and I'll go again and again and again and again and again. And in me and you, you are more than a conqueror. Nothing can touch you. Nothing can touch me. I am above and I am beyond. I am superior. I am irreversible. I am unchangeable. I am undefeated. And I'm living in you, waiting and wanting to be great. Now who's on? Someday you and I have got to get beyond what we need from each other that only God says will be from Him. He is your Alpha. He is your Omega. He is your more than. He is your conqueror. He is your overcomer. He is your rock of ages. He is your refuge. He is your healing. He is your comforter. He is your all in all. Give Him glory and honor and praise. So while you're standing, and those that are not, but were standing from their seat, I want you to stand, because here was my closing thought before. I really felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to be more plain spoken, because what I had to learn in my Christian life is, you know what, God, it may just be you and me, but that's all I need. I am not a minority. As long as you're with me, I am the majority. And if we are that dependent on me, or if that dependent on each other, we will never earn the right to see the lost and the hurting and the broken that are coming that looks just like us when we were lost and we were broken and we were hurting. My goodness, I looked around here in the altar Sunday morning and I saw some of you having the audacity to pray with each other. Some of you came to the altar and had a word for each other. I saw people getting set free. What's wrong with you people? That was supposed to be funny. That's good. That's what's supposed to happen. This is what I wrote. It's time to stop looking at ourselves as not enough. It's time to quit shaping our world with thoughts of insecurity, failure, and fear. Man, how many times did you go through the seventh grade before you graduated? I mean, some of us continue to carry the same insecurities, the same fears, the same failures as 27 and 37 and 47 and 57-year-olds as seventh graders. And I think God is saying, you know what? Stop it. That's enough. Not only do I have more for you, but I've already provided more, and it's already in you. Some of us act like part of heaven is on back order. Oh, I didn't really get faith. I didn't really get confidence. I didn't really get anything but defeat and fear and insecurity. But maybe it's coming in this week. Some of you are like, what the heck is layaway? You're just too young to know the days of layaway. But I feel what Revelation 12 and 11 says, and the kingdom, or actually it's Matthew 11 and 12, and the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the violent have to take it by force. You know, brother, I appreciate you, Anthony, and what you've done with your life and said, you know what, I'm going to be in the Coast Guard and I'm going to lay my life down for others. Oh gosh, if I'm in the water, oh gosh, I hope you don't come and say, oh God, since the seventh grade, I've been really kind of scared of swimming. I don't really do water. And oh man, it looks too bad. I only made a 98 on my test, and I just don't think I'm good enough to save him. Is that who you want coming for you? Some of you live like this. Hi, I'm Jesus, and I'm in you and everything, but I don't think I can overcome that. That's what you've reduced Christ to. It's not who he's reduced himself to, but I couldn't praise that way because what would people think? Oh, now, you see, you ought to be feeling really bad right now because I should be in the hen house, so to speak, and that's a preacher term meaning God should be really talking to some people right now about the sin that you've left in your life long enough that now it's just a habit, now it's just a pattern. Now you think everybody thinks like that. When I do this, you're supposed to speak up because if you don't, I just keep going. I'm not scared. I came from a revival. I preached an hour and 5 minutes, and they would have been happy if I went another hour, except that I'd spent two in the pulpit here that morning. But I feel like we're in a time that has to be intense and intentional, and I mean, we have to go on an all-out, aggressive, forcefully advancing tear. And we have to realize that each of us are in the spiritual Coast Guard, and it's time to quit criticizing each other for being in the water and just get down in the water and start saving each other's lives and helping each other break the yokes off our life and start serving God with an intense passion to love him and to reach a lost and dying world. And it's time for us to get over our pride and quit being scared about everything. You might have a word for your neighbor, and that's get up and let's go to church. I'm not going to stand here and let your marriage fall apart and be a spirit-filled Christian and hide in the bushes and live an undercover Christian life. I'm walking across the hedges, and I'm going to come tell you about Jesus Christ who died on the cross for me and for you, and he saved my marriage and he'll save yours. Oh, I'm blessing myself right now. I feel so good. I didn't finish. It's time for us to quit shaping our world with those kinds of thoughts. We have people in ministry. Boy, I just feel like I'm just cleaning house tonight. Spring cleaning. Sometimes people sit back, well, I wish our church doesn't do this and our church doesn't do that. You know why? Because I refuse to go to the grave, and I refuse to let her go to the grave early and do everybody else's jobs that God called them to do. And if you see something missing in the church and we're not doing it, it's probably because you haven't stepped to the plate, sunshine. Just so you know. Because I want the people in this church to really know what I think. Good cop's gone. Bad cop's probably here to stay. Because you know what? People are dying and going to hell even now as we sit here and stand convicted and may or may not change. I finished it by saying, it's time for us to see and shape things according to what God sees and says about us. Shane Sampson, get ready. You're the first one I'm praying for tonight. The Lord spoke a word to me to him on Sunday morning, and I'm going to go public with it right now. Give your pastor your vehicle. I don't see you running down the aisle like the guy did Sunday morning. I don't even see you running to the... No. The Lord gave me two words for Shane. Be great. Be great. And he opened his mouth and he said, you know what? The battle has been great. And you know, sometimes your battle tells on the enemy. It's the enemy's way of confirming you're right on time. You're right on target. And young man, you are right on time. You are right on target. And God has raised you up for this season to just be great. And anytime God speaks something in your life, it's going to be harder not to be that than to fight against it. So Sheila's going to work with me tonight. And this is a confession that we're going to throw up. And I'm going to lead us together in this. And we're going to declare this. Here's my confession. I boldly declare that in Jesus Christ, I am a conqueror who is utmost, paramount, foremost, first rate, first class, and top notch. He is greater, higher, and better than. He is superior, preeminent, dominant, and incomparable. More than, unsurpassed, unequaled, unrivaled, unchallenged. And last I check, he is undefeated. He is great and greatly to be praised. This is his day. I will rejoice. And pause here, pause button. And I'm going to do more than just be glad in it. I'm going to now be victorious in it. And that's the word of the Lord over your minds tonight. You are now going to be victorious. I declare this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I have an amen? Get victorious right now. If you need to confess your sin-filled thoughts, your shortcomings, you do it right now in your praise. Don't stop praising, but you just start giving God all those defeating thoughts that have been overcoming you. You are more than conquerors. You not only attend a church that's named Dominion, but you are being taught by a holy God that He is dominion and authority and has dominion and authority of all things. And Dominion Church, it's time for you to take your place in this city. It's time for you to stir up the spiritual power of God to visit the city of League City. Stir it up with your praise. Stir it up now with your praying. Let me hear you talk. Let me hear your thoughts go public.
Thanks for listening. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church office at 281-554-3600. It is our prayer the message you heard encourages and strengthens your walk with Christ. Our location and service times are located on our homepage under the Contact Us and This Week tabs. Dominion Church is a place of faith, hope, and healing with a mission to reach people and make disciples. See you soon.